When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you to do today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that they may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you to do today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, and he rejoiced over, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey his voice of the Lord, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, there's some conditional aspects in this covenant. There's a turning that needs to take place. There's a repentance that has to happen. Okay, but there's some very unconditional aspects in it also. And then conditional aspects are, what is the promise of God? I will return and I will place you in the land. So there's conditional aspects, and there will be a generation. And what have we read about over chapter 6 through 19 of Revelation? What did we find out? God brings a strong judgment on the world and on the nation of Israel, and it brings Israel and its purposes to do the very thing that he says they will do. They will return to their God. Okay? They will obey his commandments in that day. He will return and establish all those promises. So the unconditional aspects of it are that he promises, I'm going to return and I'm going to give this land. Now, it didn't say which generation it would be to, and it certainly was not to Joshua and those who entered the promised land. They entered, but they entered not under full obedience to God, which is amazing. I mean, that's amazing. They didn't do everything God told them to do. They were just supposed to go in there, wipe out every single individual that lived in the land, male, female, children. We go, that's horrible. Why would he have them do that? Because what was going on in the land of Canaan was so incredibly evil and debased that the whole society had to be removed. They had had 400 years. They had had multiple generations to turn from their sin. He said there, we already read it when he was talking to Abraham, says, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So while Israel was over there as slaves in Egypt, God was doing a work with the people who were Gentile people living in the land of Canaan. He was doing a work with them, bringing their iniquity to its completion. And all through that time, you have to understand and know that God was giving them opportunity to do what? Turn. Okay? But they continually get more and more evil. And apparently, there were things like what went on in the days of Noah going on in the land of Canaan, because you had the Rephaim and you had the Anakim in the land there. And the Rephaim and the Anakim were what? They were giants. Okay? Just like in the days of Noah with the Nephilim, there were giants of land. So there was an evil thing going on there that was beyond just normal evil. There was demonic activity that was obviously producing, once again, an offspring from fallen angels and human women. Okay? And so there's this just terrible evil. So that whole thing has to be done away with. Every man, woman, and child has to be wiped out to get rid of that evil that's come about because of that perversion that's taking place. They don't do that. The Israelites don't fulfill the promise, but God still lets them go in. And they still get allotted to them pieces of land, and he still gives them victories and things like that. But they don't possess everything fully, okay? They never possess everything fully. But the promise is made there. So there's your land promise again, reestablished, as well as the seed promise. Okay? He said there he's going to make them prosperous, and they're going to be fruitful. And as a nation, they're going to continue to be blessed. Okay? And so we know that that wasn't all fulfilled there when they entered the land. It wasn't fulfilled again in the days of David and King Solomon. So when's it going to be fulfilled? In the millennium. We're starting to learn more about what's going to take place. We're starting to learn about what? The preconditions that are all being set up for the millennium to take place. So we're learning about all that stuff. So we better stop there, because we could, I guess, do the Davidic. Let me look here real quick. Let's see. Let's save the Davidic covenant and the new covenant for next week, okay? And in those, what we're going to see, and you might spend some time on your own if you want to, looking into some of that stuff. The new covenant we know is in what? Okay, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, you can read about the new covenant, okay? And you can read about it in, is it Hebrews, like I think it starts in Hebrews chapter 8. It runs through 10, I think, where it's being talked about there. And that's some really good information there, too. And I'll tell you something really cool. The more I'm studying about the kingdom, the more I understand the book of Hebrews. There's a whole bunch of things that I didn't really grasp totally about what's being said there, what the writer is trying to say to the Hebrew believers in that day. But it has to do with all kinds of stuff we're studying here and trying to understand about the kingdom, okay? Anyway, that's another issue. And the Davidic covenant is in a couple places you can look at that. It's in 2 Samuel. I got to find it here real quick. 2 Samuel would be the first place you can look. And I got to get you the verses. 2 Samuel 7. 16, you can look at Psalms 89, verse 3 and 4 that relate to it. Psalms 89, 34 through 36 that relate to it. And there's some other passages too, but we'll get into those. We'll get into those next week and look at them. But there's the basic foundation of the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I think it's verses 12 through 16. And that's where he starts to expand upon what's going to become of the seed and the nation becoming that great nation and a king being established on the throne over Israel forever. Okay, so possessing that land, having that king and that kingdom. So all starting with Abrahamic covenant, he's now just expanding upon the promises in the covenant until we get up to the new covenant. And then the new covenant, we'll deal with that and talk about that when we get there. So you can read on those things. But so far what we're doing then is establishing the basis of why there has to be this 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. There has to be, in order for God to fulfill his promises. The only thing that the prophets didn't know about it in the Old Testament was the duration. We found out the duration today. We know a lot more than the prophets. Actually, we know way less than them, because we need to study the prophets to see what they say about that kingdom and all the things. We're going to see the provisions of it and some of the practical things about the kingdom and everything else. So anyway, that's the start of it. So, all scripture is inspired by God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for training in righteousness, and so on. All those good things. So it is all good for us. And I'll tell you, when you really get a handle on this stuff and start getting a little bit bigger picture of what's going on, it's going to help you understand the whole program of God way better. It'll even help you understand the church and the program of salvation that goes on in this day better. And the promises that are laid out for us. We inherit a kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That's what Christ's work of salvation is, was all about. He's making us into a royal priesthood to inherit a kingdom that belongs to his son. So that's what starts with the millennial kingdom and goes into the everlasting kingdom. So there's the basis. And boy, I wish I wouldn't have messed up on the recorder. But, oh well.